This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Ready to expand your mind, your heart, and your life? Are you ready for deeper relationships, more passion, less stress, and a whole lot more fun? Are you ready to lead a life you love and set the tone for others to watch you and learn? Then it's time for Terry Britt's Leading with Love, pioneering change for our families and the world. Spend the next hour with your host, spiritual coach, healer, inspirational speaker, author, and former Miss USA, Terry Britt.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Terry Britt, and I am thrilled you're here. And I just want to take a moment to say what I mean by that. I am really, really thrilled. Our numbers are just exploding as this show is a new show, and it blows my mind that so many people are stepping up to be leaders of love. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And to help you even grow more into being a leader of love, this whole month of December, we're talking about how to embrace 2017, let go of what we're ready to let go of, and so that we can make room for 2018. But I know oftentimes many of us get stuck. I mean, don't you hate that feeling of getting stuck? It sucks. I mean, I don't know any other word to say than it sucks. It just sucks. So maybe you're not stuck, but maybe you're just wanting a change, something different than what you've been doing in 2017. Or here's a real good thought. Maybe you've had this inkling inside of you, that spirit, that's your spirit, by the way, that little inkling. And it's been wanting you to make that change, but you get in your own way. So it's saying you need a kick in the butt. Well, I'm here to serve you. I'm going to help you get a kick in the rump, but in a loving way. So that's why all of these shows in December are helping you to gear up and get ready for 2018. And there's one person who I feel is really knowledgeable and about guiding you into transitioning. His name is Daryl Gurney. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He is considered a life changer, executive coach, licensed spiritual counselor, consultant, and career advisor. And he's been doing this for 28 years. That's pretty impressive. He's the founder of theback40.com and careerguide.com. Plus, he's an author and a speaker. He leads workshops and trainings for community and spiritual organizations, professional associations, as well as university and MBA programs such as Harvard and USC. That's real impressive. He's here to give us some tips and tools to prepare for a change of scene in 2018. So let's welcome Daryl Gurney. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Terry. How are you?
I'm great. I'm actually really excited about the holidays. I am gearing up for my family to come in, and I hope you're doing the same. And I'm also gearing up for 2018 because it's really feeling exciting to me. How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling great. You know, 2017, you know, this time last year, you know, planning out 2017, and you know, you have intentions and you're going to play big, and you know, and life happens, and it's how you're going to respond to it. And then, you know, we go through a cycle of 12 months and we get the opportunity to do this again. It's, you know, it's a calendar date, but it gives us an opportunity to really ritualize, you know, who we're becoming next. I think it's, you know, the time of the year, other than our birthdays, maybe, when we most look at that, you know?
Yeah, no, I get that. I my birthday's in November, so it comes real close to the new year. But I think both of those times for me are, you know, what am I doing for this birth year? And then what am I doing in, you know, in this new year of 2018? So I look at it kind of from both perspectives. And I love that you call it a back 40 renew all. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But I want you to explain before we get into the nitty gritty of it, exactly what is a back 40 renew all? And when I say renew all, it's RENEW-ALL. What does that mean?
Well, first off, back 40 refers to, my partner and I in life are building a movement. Okay. It's based on a book that's coming out next year called The Back 40, The Ride of Your Life. And what the back 40 refers to, you know, I grew up in Texas, and if you watch Dallas, you heard people you know, on Dallas talk about the back 40, because in ranch terms, that's this big uncultivated patch of land behind the ranch that has infinite growth potential. And so what we say metaphorically is that the second half of life is really a big uncultivated patch of land in the second half of your life that has infinite growth potential. So that's what the back 40 is about, is we're really kind of turning around the conversation that says, as you get later in life, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, that your best opportunities and career and, you know, relationships and all that is behind you. We say, no, that's just a belief system. We say everything's in front of you if you approach it with a new mindset. So that's what the back 40 is. And Renew All is basically an opportunity that we can take all the time to renew the all of us. Now, one of the things that happens is, I'm sure you have friends like this, like we all do, is that as people have been around on the planet for a while, they kind of get fixed ideas about the way men are, the way people, you know, women are, the way relationships are, the way life is, the way work is. And that tends to close down the possibilities and the opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so when we say renew, really talking about bringing newness, kind of bringing that curiosity, bringing that openness and willingness to be a sponge even into 40s, 50s, and 60s. Mm-hmm. So Renew All is really about it's a mindset first, and there's steps that one can take to actually start to open oneself up again for the all of life and for the all of you to be able to express.
Yeah, and you don't have to be in your 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Not at
I mean,
all.
These are steps that we can all take, especially as we're coming into the new year.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I understand when you talk about the back 40, I remember that term too. I also think of it, and I don't know if I'm getting this right, if I'm interpreting this right, but I think of everything that I've done in the past that I can embrace and maybe go and take from it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what my age is.
Yeah.
Although I'm well into those ages that you're saying, and I know some of our listeners are, but not all.
Yep.
So for you, when did you have the aha about the back 40? I mean, what happened for you to say, you mean, I don't have to be stuck. I don't have to be, it doesn't have to be hard. You know, what happened for you that would bring you to this place of understanding?
Let me say first, I agree with you that this is for any age. It's for any age at all. Once you hear what I'm about to say, any age can apply this. And sometimes it's at that, quote, midlife juncture. You know, some people call it midlife crisis. I call it midlife opportunity. But it's sometimes at that juncture that people tend to wake up in a way, or have the opportunity to wake up in a way that they haven't before. You know, because mm-hmm. in our 20s and 30s, we're getting married and we're getting a home and we're having kids and we're kind of on this track, right? And then certain things happen around that midlife juncture. And like I said, if people can look at this or look at what we're going to talk about here, this can be applied at any age. How it happened for me was at 40, I was sitting in my meditation chair in the corner of my room. I was looking at my son sleeping. It was 2 a.m. in the morning. I was looking at my son sleeping in my bed, and he was sleeping in my bed because my parents were sleeping in his bed downstairs, because they had come into town to lend me more money, in a $500,000 custody suit that I was involved in. And, you know, just basically wanting to keep, you know, my half custody of my son. And, you know, I'm sure listeners can relate to, you know, just things happen in marriages, things happen in relationships, and there's lots of energies that happen, right? So that's where I was. And at that moment in particular, I thought, wow, I don't have much to show for my first half of life. I'm broke. I'm going through a career change. I'm in enormous debt. And, you know, just, you know, kind of felt like I had this big loser neon sign above my forehead. And what I'll say is that I call it a download, but I just got this insight, and it came to me and it said, well, what if the first half is just R&D? What if the first half is just research and development for what you really came here to do? And what if you're exactly where you should be? And what if there's been no wrongs committed against you? What if you're not a victim to anything that's ever occurred in your past? And all of it has simply been laboratory experiments to prepare you for what you came here to be, to do, and who you came here to be. And that's where the idea, you know, first came to me. And, you know, through it wasn't an overnight thing, but over several years of processing that and writing on it, that's kind of the message or the hope that, we look to share with this whole idea of the Back 40.
I love the research and development, because I believe that, you know, we get so caught up in that we feel like we have to get somewhere, we have to do something and figure it all out all along the way, when instead if we would embrace everything as research and development. I tell my kids that, they're all in their 20s, you know, look at this time for you as an opportunity to, you're taking, I look at it as a big puzzle. And yeah, that you are a puzzle, and each little piece has to come together to make the whole. I mean, for instance, for me, doing this radio show, my background is in television years ago in the 80s. I worked in television in Los Angeles, and then I left everything. And at that time, I used to think, why did I do that? You know, why, what was the purpose of all that? Well, now I see, because this is very comfortable for me, right? So it's part of me bringing that forward in, you know, in what I'm doing now. So I love that. I love it. And especially when we talk about just the whole life journey of the things that are hard and the things that are good, you know, all of it combined. I don't know. I love that. I just love that. I'd love to impress upon everyone right now as we're thinking about 2017 and, you know, and even past that in going backwards, is think of it as research and development. What have you been researching and developing? Right?
Right.
Yeah, how do we, you know, what is it that we're doing? So I love that you got that divine download. So, you know, one of the things that when I've been reading through your programs and looking through your new book that you sent to me that you've been working on, which is really wonderful, a lot of your work is about transition, where people are ready to make a transition. But they get stuck. Why do you think they get stuck?
I think we all, and, you know, I'm mea culpa, right? This work I'm developing is, you know, for me too, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what will happen is that we get stuck on the victim side of the transition equation. One of the things I talk about is what I call the trough of transition. Now, here's the deal. I love the story. I love what you brought up about, you know, you were in television in the 80s back in LA, and now you're doing this radio show and everything like that, right? And so, you know, in other words, what if everything we've done, what, you know, if we're going to grow, and if we're really committed to growing, we have to accept that there's going to be a lot of transitions we're going to go through. See, the tendency is, and I like what you tell your kids too, you know, that this is your time to experiment. Now, the danger is if they experiment though, and then they make decisions about life and the way it is. And, you know, in other words, can we experiment and keep taking what we get and stay open as opposed to getting locked into our wisdom? But say,
whoa, say that one more time for our listeners, because that's a really that's a really cool point. Do you remember what you just said?
I do.
No, but what you just said, because it's not just for young people, it's for every age.
Yes.
That as we're walking through the path, say it one more time, what you just said about you don't get stuck.
Yeah, because you can get stuck in your quote, and I surround it in quotes, wisdom. Wisdom can become the prison. And see, our society tells us, oh, let me go try this. And you see 20-year-olds, I mean, they create the new technology companies and they create, you know, all these things. They're out taking risks and they're playing, you know, and they're just going for it because they don't have a past that's told them they're a failure yet, or they haven't been burnt so many times in relationships and all this. So the point being is that they're out, they're playing, they're taking risks. What happens sometimes as we keep playing in life, and we got, quote, get, or we think we get burned, going back to your question, We think we get burned. We think that we're a victim to something. Then we make decisions, and we make decisions about the way life is. And then that starts to create what I call the all things possibility shrinking world, because all things are not possible. Our wisdom becomes our prison. Then we've already decided now this is the way it is or this isn't the way it is, right? So wisdom can be a prison. I think as we experiment, we take what we learn, but we use it to get bigger. We don't use it to then start to close down. And when I talk about the victim side of the equation and this trough of transition, if we're going to grow, we're going to go through changes. You had to buck up recently to learn this whole internet radio thing, right? Now, a lot of people, and I don't know what your age is, right? But a lot of people your age, when they face this or they face technology or they face something else that's new, they go, oh, well, I can't do that. Or I've just never been good at internet. Or I can't do that. You know, they've made these decisions about themselves, right? So what I'm saying is that you took on a transition to becoming someone who could put on a radio show that's actually attracting lots of listeners. And there's let me just give an example about the victim thing. Okay. Right. A lot of times, and this is somewhat related to you growing bigger, but when we change, usually something's going to happen that makes us change. You know, we don't just change as things go around, you know, easy come, easy go, right? And something will happen, like a bag of bricks, like a $500,000 custody suit. Or we'll go through a divorce that was unexpected, or we'll lose a loved one, or we'll lose a job. And what happens is that at the left side, if you can draw just a little U, draw a little U, and if the listeners can draw a little U. On the left side of the U, we've got shock. And shock is what happens when something out of the blue happens, right? It's like it surprised us, right? The shock might be less if grandma's been in the hospital for a year. It might be less of a shock. But if she just falls over tomorrow, there's shock. And then as you move down the left side of the U, the next one is anger. You know, because when things change, for the most part, at least for me, it's like, we don't like change. It's like, wait, things should be the way they were, right? So there's this feeling of anger. And what comes out of that is like, well, what did I do wrong? Or what's wrong with me? Or what's wrong with them? And we look to point the finger somewhere. Because things change, somebody's got to be wrong. As we keep going down the left side of the U, there's sadness. Because sadness is always what underlies anger. And the sadness comes from, uh-oh, things are going to change now. Things are going to be different. And we're just, as human beings, kind of not wired for that, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what happens, and let me just finish the U, and then I'll tell you where we get stuck. So if you go over to the right side of the U on the bottom, at some point, we get to a level of acceptance. And you know what I mean, because things have happened to you in life. I know you lost a love of your life. And, you know, it's not easy to jump over into acceptance, right? A lot of times we stay at the bottom of a trough, right? Because it's hard to switch. But at some time we get to a level of acceptance that this is the way things are. Things have changed. There, it's a time to move on. And then when we get to the right side, the top right of the U, we've got exploration and what's next. Now, you know, that is a transition. I just described a transition. And a lot of us have things from 2017 that hit us like a bag of bricks, you know, in all the different forms it could take, you know, world events and our personal relationships or whatever. But that is a transition. Now, what happens, which I believe keeps people stuck, is if you draw a line down the middle of that U, we could effectively call the left side of the U the victim side. This happened to me. The sadness that we want to hold on to. And again, I'm not saying that all this stuff wasn't or didn't seem horrible. Okay. But yet by staying on the left side of the U, in the victim side, we wallow in that as opposed to moving ourselves over to the right side. Now, you can't force it and you can't skip it. One time I was with a man who got laid off, and he was a Russian gentleman, and I showed him this little diagram, and I said, so where do you think you are along the path? He had just gotten laid off. He goes, oh, I'm here. And he pointed to the exploration of what's next side, but he had tears in his eyes. Mm. So, you know, you can't avoid it, but going through it powerfully, okay? And here's what I say a possible way to get over to what I call the at cause side of it. And I only call it at cause because I say, what if we are running experiments? And what if we're choosing the things that happen to us in life? And this is going to come hard to listeners who've lost a loved one. I'm not saying you chose that. I am saying, though, that what if there's another expression of us? What if there's a greater expression of us yet to be revealed? And what if all of this was designed to have us get there? And how we can get to acceptance faster, and this will sound crazy, but come up with 20 reasons why this is the best thing that ever happened to you.
That's interesting.
You got to twist your mind. You got to really be willing to twist your mind because, Terry, there's things that have happened to you that if you look back at them now, you can see that how you grew out of them, how your life expanded in new ways, even though you wouldn't have wished those things to happen, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the day after my husband died, and, you know, and I'm an intuitive, I called in his spirit and I said, listen, I could wait 10 years to see the gift in all of this, but I would prefer you to tell me now what to pay attention to. And he gave me a list of things to pay attention to. And I was so grateful, and it helped me embrace the process so much easier than if I had to sit there and be in a, and there have been times when I didn't understand it. You know, why, here's a good one. When I was Miss USA back in 82, I dated Wayne Newton. He dumped me on my butt right before I gave up my title. And then we got back together and he did it again. You know, it would have been easy to stay in that victim attitude for a very, very long time. You know, this man dumped me. But what was interesting is a few years later, I saw him and had lunch with him, and I realized in that moment that the process of him dumping me had actually empowered me to get in touch with what I wanted and who I was, to the point where when I was looking at him and his entourage around him, I said to myself, I could have never lived this life. I'm so glad he dumped me, because what I know now is this is not anything that I would have ever wanted.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so the thing is that if we can all, and again, no matter what happened to us in 2017 or even, you know, prior to 2017, we've all got stuff that if even the most transformed of us, okay, if we're really, 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 really real, we can still believe that, you know, gosh, if that hadn't happened, or if they hadn't raised me that way, or if that hadn't occurred at that time in my life or whatever, things would be really different. If we can take all of those and really, you know, look at the times that untoward things did happen and how our life got better, or how it took on new shapes and new colors and dimensions, if we can trust that there is an intelligence here and that at some level we're co-creating with it, and somehow this thing that came about right now that doesn't seem that great, if we can at least start twisting our mind to find, and just even if it's just making them up in the beginning, find some blessings in the mix of it all, then what it does is it starts to get us over to the other side. It's not to say we're not going to go back and forth for a while, you know, on some of these transitions. But if we can keep looking and listing out and looking to see what are the possibilities that can come out of this, what does this make available for me now? What are some new things, like, you know, what if I could recreate another amazing relationship? Even though I thought that one was the best one on the planet, what if that's really possible? Versus you and I both know people who never got out again after they lost that perfect one. And, you know, it's not to say they weren't perfect, but what if something else is possible? So anyhow, the coming up with 20 reasons why this is the best thing that ever happened to you starts to pull you out of victim. And what naturally then starts to occur is a feeling of exploration. What's next then? You know? And again,
so let's stop for a second for there, Daryl, because I want everybody to just kind of grab this. So the whole point, and I love this about the 20 blessings that could come from it. And so we'll say you're looking at 2017 and something has been hard. Maybe you've had a difficult time with a boss or a coworker or a spouse or one of your kids, and it feels so bad and you want it to be different. So what you're inviting them to say are you're asking them to write down 20 things that could possibly be blessings. And so what I'm hearing you say is that you're shifting their mindset from this happened to me to gratitude. That's really what you're doing. You're shifting into gratitude. And so maybe, you know, a way of doing writing those things is that you could be grateful for certain things that came about. And like I just talked about with Wayne Newton dumping me, and there are so many, but that was just one that really stands out in my life, right? So I want you guys to think about that for a second, and we're going to go to break. And then when we come back, we'll go further into this conversation about the exploration, because what you've done and what I was looking at when I was looking over your program, your Back 40 program, you explain this so well, and you give so much guidance about how to do this and the questions to ask. And I love that. I love that you're helping people make that transition, because when I look at the world and what you said earlier, Daryl, is how people, you know, they just say, well, this is the way it is, or they get stuck. And I think that can be in any age.
Yep.
That you're giving them an opportunity. If you guys are listening to this exercise that he's talking about, this you, and what, the other thing I heard also too, Daryl, is that you were talking about on the left side, you know, there's anger and there's sadness, and you have to go through them. You can't skip them. You talked about the guy with the tears in his eyes, is that that's embracing our humanness. Yeah. And I think a lot of times we get stuck. We don't want to feel. We don't want to move. We feel like, well, this is it. But if we will give ourselves permission to and have compassion for ourselves, for that anger, for that sadness, then that is like, you know, when you resist it, that old saying, well, you resist, persist, it's going to stick around. But the more you can embrace it and love the anger, love the sadness, and love all those feelings that you're having, and know that they're just part of the process, then it helps us, I believe, to be a little bit kinder and gentler with ourselves. I mean, would you agree with that, Daryl? And then we'll go to break.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talked about the stages of grieving, you know, and it's if we can really learn this process and actually be able to own it and know what we're going through and have some tips to get ourselves to the other side quicker, it just makes growing so much easier. You know, we don't get stuck.
Yeah. We don't get stuck. Okay, well, we're going to talk some more about this. We're going to come back and talk about the exploration and dive some more into this beautiful concept that Daryl Gurney has for us. So we're going to go to break. I'm Terry Britt. This is Leading with Love, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You've listened to the shows on CTR, and perhaps you've found yourself thinking, maybe I should host my own show, but I don't know how. It's easier than you think. From the beginning with private coaching sessions to your own live broadcasts, CTR Network will prepare you on every level to share your knowledge, expand your brand, and take your business to the next level. At CTR, we nurture your vision and make it a radio reality. Contact Cameron Steele at 425-221-3646 or Cameron at CTRnetwork.com and put your dream into motion today.
We Welcome back. I'm Terry Britt. You're listening to Leading with Love, and we are talking to Daryl Gurney, and we're having a fabulous conversation about renewing your life, about transitioning from something that hasn't been working. Maybe it's just you've been feeling stuck. Maybe you've had a crisis in your life where something shocked you, and he's been explaining the process that you go through about being human, about accepting your anger, accepting your sadness, and knowing that you have to go through these processes before you can get to the other side. And I love that. I love that it's you're impressing upon them the avenue of, you know, yes, this is what I'm feeling over here, but you're not a victim. And now you can shift it. So when we left the conversation at the break, you were talking about moving into exploration. So tell us a little bit about that and what you mean by that.
Well, I think that when we have moved, and by the way, I just want to bring something up because I mentioned Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in the last segment. And, you know, that is a model. That is a model. And if people can understand what they're going to go through in the process of dying, it's just, you know, the more you understand, the more you know what's coming. And it makes things easier. Now, the difference between that model and what I'm describing is that, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's model results in death. That's where you're going to end. this transition model. Now, again, now death might be great because we all know what's coming on the other side. That's awesome, right? It's beyond what we got. But the point being is this trough of transition, what comes out on the other side of it is more life. It's more life if you can take the things that have occurred and, again, not stay stuck on the victim side. Use some tips to move yourself over to the what you call the gratitude side, what I call the at cause side. Like, what if you planned all this? What if you just planned it all to get you to a place of getting bigger? You know, I had to get bigger. Once I, you know, was in this $500,000 custody suit, I'm the person I am now because of it. I look back on who I was before that, right? And I'm glad I'm who I am now. Mm-hmm. So my point is, so when we talk about the exploration and what's next, is that if we take the things that have occurred, like let's say someone has lost their job. Or they've had a business that was thriving for 15 years and it, you know, they had to close it, or they did lose a loved one, or, you know, some of these things are just really hard. It's hard for the listeners to go, yeah, but, you know, that doesn't apply to me because this is just the worst thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not making light of anything that's happened to people, but I will say that if you can start coming up with, what are the possible blessings here? What are 20 reasons? Now get this, why this is the best thing that could have ever happened to me.
Wow.
That's tough, right? That's tough. What are the 20 reasons why this is the best thing that could have ever happened to me? And again, it won't come easy at first, but you got to start forcing yourself over into that mindset. When you do, and when you're willing to start looking at it from another perspective, what it does is it brings curiosity. It brings like a wanting to know more about things or wanting to maybe express more about yourself. I've seen a lot of women, as a matter of fact, over the last year, because of things that have been happening in the world, decide that they're going to use their voice more now. Okay. You know, they're going to use their voice and they're going to step out more and blah, 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 and all this stuff, you know? So in other words, sure, there were horrible things that happened. But again, if you start looking over on why is it the best thing that could have happened, it's because guess what? Now there's going to be more self-expression. There's going to be more willingness on the part of someone who's been through a challenge or something to grow bigger. Not to spite the challenge or not because, yeah, they'll never get me again. But it's kind of like, it's like, how do I grow out of this? And, you know, what can I expand into? So my, you know, my explorations into consciousness, my explorations into the helping professions, you know, all of that came about out of this, you know, seemingly horrible thing that I went through, right? So my point is this, is that curiosity comes about. And if you can start allowing yourself to be curious and coming up with questions, okay, on the other side of this tragedy, whatever it is, what do I want to know more about? What does it compel me to explore more? Then we move up the other side of the trough into exploration and what's next. And we start getting ourselves out there again to become bigger, rather than what happens if we stay on the other side of the trough is we just get smaller and smaller, because a victim will always, you know, stay a victim, you know, versus who can I become out of this?
I love that. Okay, let's stop right there. Did you guys hear that? Who can I become out of this? I used to have this saying, and I don't say it anymore, but I used to have this saying when I was in a dark period, I'd say, in the darkness are many possibilities. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of times when we're transitioning or we're trying to let go of something and change our lives, that we feel like we're in a dark bubble. And for me, what I would do is I would see myself in that dark bubble, but then I would see these little fractures of light coming through and say, because as soon as I would start to say, in the darkness are many possibilities, it was as if the light would start breaking through, as if an egg had cracks in it. And that was a really cool thing for me to do. It got me through a lot when I didn't have a lot of tools to transition into a better place. So I love that. I love what you're saying. So as far as the exploration, you know, because one of the things when you were talking, what was coming up for me is, say, for instance, somebody has been married for a while. Oh, no, here's an even better, or I should say worse one. Let's say someone has a child and the child gets sick and the child dies.
Mm-hmm.
That is, to me, that would be the ultimate worst, because mm-hmm. a spouse, you feel like they've lived a long time, but a child, you feel like, oh my gosh, they had so much life ahead of them, and it's your baby.
Yeah.
And so a person has had that kind of tragedy. How can they get to a place of saying, this is the, you know, what is, how could this be the best thing that ever happened to me? How do you help them get to that place?
Yeah. Wow, just so many examples I could talk about that exact thing, different foundations that have been created, all of this because of exactly what you're talking about. Now, again, it doesn't mean that they would have ever consciously chosen that. And I'm sure you know Carolyn Miss's idea of spiritual contracts and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right?
I teach about spiritual contracts, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So to some degree, you know, we're not here operating alone, and, you know, like, we have agreements that we've made, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there, like I said, there's foundations, there was this, I'm trying to remember his name right now, I mentioned him in my book, the first version of my book, but I think he passed away at 13 or 14. He was on all the morning shows. He wrote, you know, tons of poetry and stuff like that. And he just left, even at 13 or 14, a legacy, you know, mm-hmm. behind him of making you appreciate life, mm-hmm. right? So right. I guess what I would say is that, of course, someone in that situation, you can't avoid the feeling of loss, okay? The feeling of loss comes from our very groundedness in this body as individual beings on a planet with other individual beings, right? And so mm-hmm. there is going to be the human experience of loss. And someone in that situation, if they were willing to start looking to see what has it taught them, what have they learned out of it, what perhaps might there be to share or to come out of this that could bring more life to others. And that's why I said I've seen there's a group called the Tariq Kamisa Foundation where a boy in college was killed by a gang member. Okay, he was killed by a gang member when he was having a pizza delivered to him. But the father of that boy that was killed actually reached out to the father of the guy who killed him And they created a foundation so that these things wouldn't happen.
Oh, my goodness. You just gave me major chills. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, you know, it's there's so many stories of things like that. But again, it's what path are you going to take? You know, taking the victim path, taking the I'm hurt path, taking the I'm going to go in my shell path, taking the I'll never trust another man path, I'll never trust another woman path. You know, I'll actually share with you personally, one of the things that has me where I am in life right now is because I did some, well, the Back 40, the book that's coming out has, you know, these exercises and these processes and everything you can engage in to do this kind of deep work. But in doing the work myself a few years ago, about 5 years ago now, I did a process where I was looking to see what had life taught me about relationships or about, you know, dating. And it was a weird question, but I said, who am I that dating is? Who am I that relationships are? And in other words, when I say who am I, it's like I am my beliefs and I just maybe am not aware of my beliefs, right? And so I just free wrote, just free writing. And I was stopped in my tracks after a few pages in the spiral where I wrote down, I can't trust a woman with my heart.
Wow.
Mm. And when I got to that depth of awareness, I could start to see, and like I'm just explaining, I could start to be curious, like, okay, but what if that's not true? What if that's a belief system? And what if there's just so much pain and hurt and whatever I've been through, you know, happy and out of custody suit and all these kind of things that just has that stuck in place. And literally within a month of doing that exercise, I was speaking for a group of HR professionals and a woman came up to me afterwards and introduced herself and she was married and, you know, she continued to be married for a year and a half. And, after that, we were just friends. But then she got a divorce and we've been together now for 3.5 years and she is the, you know, ultimate partner that I always dreamed of. So again, I know I went all over the place, but when the most tragic thing occurs, again, it's a choice and it's a tough choice to make, but we have to choose, am I going to go with the victim side of this and all the thoughts and all the closed downedness and all the, you know, that comes out of that, or am I going, and it really takes conviction, am I going to turn this into some possibility?
I love that. And, you know, one of the things that I hear you talk about and you talk about is that we got to be okay with change. We can't, if we stay stuck and we're saying, I don't want to change, or I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, then we're always going to be on that left side of that trough. If we're not happy, we're going to always be in that stuck place. We've got to be okay with change. But why do you think people aren't okay with change? Is it just because it doesn't feel safe? I mean, what's your thought on that?
Well, yeah. And I say we have to be okay with change if we want to grow. If we don't want to grow, yes. We don't have to worry about it. And we all can relate to people and know people who've, you know, stayed over on that left side and they stay in what they know in their prison of wisdom. But,
Whoa. Did y'all hear what he just said? I'm sorry. When I hear a little nugget like that is, okay, so when we stay on that left side of being angry or sad and we don't do anything, any introspection to move to the right side of that big trough that you talked about, we stay in our prison of wisdom. Is that what you just said?
That's what I said. And I have quotes around it. Because again, I think greater wisdom is realizing that we don't know. And when we have decided that this is the way life is, or this is what's possible for me, or I'm only capable of this and that, and all that stuff, there's just, you know, the all possibilities shrink. I mean, look, I go through this. We went to do salsa last night, right? And so, look, I'm a white guy. I don't have the rhythm and stuff like that. I tried salsa a few years ago. I did it for like 5 months. I talked to a guy. He said, yeah. He said, I had a hard time too. After 2 years of doing it every night, I started to kind of get it naturally. And I'm going, 2 years? New Year's every night. So the point being is, though, I have to walk my talk. If I'm about growth and be, and if we say, look, life says that you go up, you know, you go up and there's an upward curve, you know, and then you get to your 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s, and it's going to go down. You know, society tells us that there's a down and out model. Okay. Well, I say that's a belief system. And what if it's up and out? What if our biggest game is yet to be played? If that's the case, then we have to keep putting ourselves into areas where we don't know. We have to keep being willing to play and play first before we have our I's dotted and our T's crossed. And we got to be willing to risk and just get out there and play and come back and, you know, talk about what we learned and play again. So I'm doing that with salsa.
That's wonderful. So that's the exploration for you, even though you haven't been in a crisis anymore. I mean, you've gone through your issues in the past, but you're still in a state of exploration, which is what makes our life full.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I've made it up that I don't know. I can't do the internet well, and I can't pass my messages on well. And, you know, and this is that. And so I have to constantly look at my own decisions or prisons of wisdom that, you know, I've made up and be willing to let those go and keep playing. Because if my big game and your big game, Terry, and everyone who's listening, if our big game is yet to be played, then guess what? More learning, more growth, more transitions, more risk taking, and more getting outside of what we think we know.
And I think we had a little technical glitch there, you guys. Sorry about that. When you were talking about your renewal, we're looking at 2017 and we're game for 2018.
Yeah.
And it is only through us being willing to change, right? Because I really guess what you're saying, you know, this trough thing. And guys, I hope you really grasped that it was this big U, and on the left side was the anger and the sadness and the shock and whatever's happened in your life. Or maybe you're not even in shock anymore. Maybe you're numb. Maybe you're just sitting at the, you know, at a flat line going, okay, this is just the way my life is. But if we want to move into the big game, it is about renewing. It's about changing. It's about looking at our lives and being willing to take the risk. And I don't know about you, Daryl. I mean, you can give me your thoughts on this, because I don't know if you've ever had times in your life where you really did feel stuck. Cause I mean, you did, you know, you came through your stuff with your custody suit, but I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but I know that when I have had times where I didn't want to change, or if I got in my stuckness, the misery in the stuckness, unless I went numb, but if I really then started paying attention to the numbness, there was misery underneath it, and it showed up in my relationships, it showed up in the things around me. That sucks. I mean, that's an awful feeling. So what you're providing here is an avenue to show people how life doesn't have to suck anymore, right?
Yeah, and there's an addiction to the sucking, though. See, and that's what we have to come face to face with, too, is that it's comfortable for it to suck. And we, you know, need to start looking at the people around us. That's why we're building a Back 40 community. Because what we know is that society will tell people that things are going to suck more and more, or you've got less possibilities or less, you know, games to play ahead of you, unless we start choosing wisely and start choosing this radio show to listen to, your radio show, and we start choosing avenues that are telling us what's possible, because otherwise the sucking is a race consciousness kind of thing. It's like we grow up in a world that basically is going to say things suck unless we consciously take the contrarian approach.
I love that. The contrarian approach, you guys. So when you are thinking right now, as we're coming through the end of 2017 and you're starting to think about, well, what's next year? And I know the holidays, it seems kind of crazy to be even having this conversation, but I think it's the perfect time, because during the holidays, we might have money issues come up. We're dealing with family and relationships that maybe aren't working, or maybe we're having a really joyful holiday. We want to do that. but it's the perfect opportunity to be in awareness of your life, to be the observer of your life and say what things are working and what things aren't. And then to do all the things that Daryl has been telling us about, to do those exercises of things that were hard this year and what is the greatest blessing? What is it? Could this possibly be the greatest blessing that I've ever had? And to look at everything he's talking about and then to move into exploring, maybe making 2018 a year of exploration. That's an exciting thought. That's a real exciting thought. So I love this conversation. So Daryl, we only have a few minutes left and, I can't believe this time went by so quickly. Holy crap.
Talking to you is like that. I enjoy every opportunity to just fall into talking to you for an hour.
this is so cool. Thank you. So you've got your Back 40 Renewal program and all your information is on my site, terrybritt.com/radio if you guys need the URLs. But, just, quickly, you have a free gift. Tell them about your free gift.
Sure. It's actually three free gifts. One is our ebook, The Top 10 Tips for a Radical Second Half. And what that basically means is that if you're going to have a second half, and that doesn't mean, I mean, that goes for a 20-year-old who's listening or a 30-year-old, mm-hmm. right? But if you're going to have a future that's not limited by anything that's already happened, that's pretty radical. At least that's radical compared to what society usually thinks, that we get shaped and life gets shaped. So if you're going to have something radical, which is unlimited in your future, this that ebook addresses that. It's Top 10 Tips for a Radical Second Half. Also, there's an ebook there called The Birth of the Back 40, which goes into a lot more intimate detail about how this idea came about and how it's shifted, you know, my life and how we're now offering it to others. It's called Birth of the Back 40. And my partner in life is Alexandra Levin, and she's been a 25-year HR professional, executive HR person, and she's applying this whole Back 40 idea to organizations. And so she's got an ebook there called The 7 Elements of a Conscious Organization. Because if we can bring consciousness, you know, into organizations, as you know, as well as individuals, because those are just compilations of individuals, then, you know, the world keeps getting better. So there's 7 elements of conscious organization there. So it's 3 ebooks at theback40.com/free, which is on your site.
Yes. And that link is on my site, you guys, the normal site URL, we're always saying terrybritt.com/radio. Well, I just want to say thank you, Daryl, for being here. And I just want to quickly tell everyone that next week, you know, in this essence of what we're trying to create in 2018, we have Karen Volo on next week, who has an incredible story. She's the joy woman. I mean, she was incarcerated wrongfully for, I think it was over 3 years, almost 4 years, and she found joy through the process, and now she helps bring joy into businesses, into people's lives. She's going to be with us next week. And then our final show of 2017 is I'm going to be doing just a sacred healing show, just me by myself. We're going to be doing lots of meditation. That's on Thursday, December 28th. So we're always here Thursdays at noon Pacific time. So, Daryl, thank you for being here. You have about 30 seconds. Any one last little tidbit you want to leave everybody?
Well, I'll just say that your guest next week is just, it's proof in the pudding of everything we've been talking about, right? You look at everything she's been through and look what she's doing now. So if everything in our lives have been laboratory experiments to prepare us for what we're really here to do and for the big game that's ahead of us, then let's start looking at them like lab experiments, and let's start growing out of them and becoming who we came here to be and what we came here to do.
I love that. Thank you for tying that in. That's beautiful. I love that. Well, Daryl, it's such a pleasure always to connect with you. Once again, everyone, on my site, you'll see all of his information, but I'll just throw that URL to you one more time. Theback40, and 40 is FORTY.com/free. You can get his information. And thank you, Daryl, for being here. Thank you for the work you're doing and helping people get out of their stuckness and to move into a life that they love. And we so appreciate you. So thank you for listening, everyone. I hope you're having a happy holiday season. If you aren't, it's time to take some time for yourself and breathe and enjoy just being in the season, because it is about love and peace and giving and joy. So please make sure that you're doing that for yourself, so that will overflow to the people around you, because that is the best holiday gift. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Daryl. You guys have
a
wonderful week. We'll see you next time. Happy holidays. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Terry Britt's Leading with Love. Tune in each Thursday at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. To learn more about Terry and to check out her books, programs, private coaching, and upcoming speaking events, go to terrybritt.com/radio.
Have you taken the time to visit our Facebook page and like us?